live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome to the Young Turks, everybody. Brett Ehrlich here, joined by Benjamin Dixon.
Welcome, Brett, to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Brett. It's a pleasure.
It is a pleasure to have you from the Benjamin Dixon Show. Tell us where people can find that and where you do it and everything like that.
They can find me anywhere. You can download a podcast. You can find me on YouTube, the Benjamin Dixon Show on YouTube.
Fantastic. We have a full show for everybody. Some crazy, unexpected stuff. The day started where the Attorney General of New York is trying to dissolve the NRA. I just didn't expect that this morning, but I am excited and here for it. We have a lot to cover in today's show. Some very transparent attacks by the President of the United States against mail-in voting. They continue using Pence to try to appeal to evangelicals as the president himself engages in quite satanic behavior on the regular. And we'll get to all that, but first, a couple programming announcements for my beloved Twitch crowd specifically. Tonight, Ben Mankiewicz is filling in for Cenk Uygur on Between Me and Uygur, and he'll be joined by actor and comedian Mario Cantone, who you may remember from Sex and the City and stand-up comedy and all kinds of amazing, hilarious exploits. Tune in exclusively on twitch.tv/TYT. On Thursday, that's tonight, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And afterwards, gird up your loins because it's game night, folks. It's game night. Twitch subscribers can join TYT hosts playing your favorite Jackbox game featuring John Iderola, J.R. Jackson, Asher Caulfield, and Tim Frisch. Some people you might know if you watch the Twitch channel. Asher and J.R. have been on. Tim Frisch runs all the graphics that and videos and everything that gets exported. He is in charge of all that. Tim Frisch will be playing with John later tonight, and it'll go straight from Between Me and Uygur into that. I love everyone affiliated with this project, and that's great. And one more thing, John is also not off the hook for the rest of the week because on Saturday, he's going to be engaging in a watch party with all of you on our Twitch channel. John's hosting this week's watch party. Link your Amazon Prime to your Twitch account and join John for TYT Movie Night Saturday, August 8th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, again at twitch.tv/TYT. And we need your help deciding what movie John and Arlene, his wife, are going to watch with you. You need to go to tyt.com/polls/watch party. There are a lot of amazing videos, movies to choose from, including, I want to say, like Knives Out, Casino Royale, The Circle, and one other, which my wife will probably yell at me, but it'll be too late. So go to tyt.com/polls/watch party to vote on that. Now that all that business is out of the way, let's get into it. You ready, Benjamin?
Let's do it.
Okay. So this morning, Letitia James, Attorney General of New York, told the world that she had an announcement. And you might be asking yourself, what was that announcement? Is it a suit against Trump? Because we'd heard all of these things about how the Trump, someone in New York got Deutsche Bank materials. But then, sorry, we might have some feedback. Okay, I think we're good now. I'm just going to start over. This morning, Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, told the world she had an announcement. People were wondering, what is it? Is it a lawsuit against the Trump Organization? Because I had heard that there was something about Deutsche Bank giving documents over. No, no one expects the dissolution of the NRA. She had an announcement. This was it. Take a listen.
We are seeking an order to dissolve the NRA in its entirety. To require Mr. LaPierre, Mr. Phillips, Mr. Powell, and Mr. Frazier to make full restitution for funds they unlawfully profited and salaries they earned while employees, and pay penalties. To remove Mr. LaPierre and Mr. Frazier from the NRA's leadership, and to ensure none of the four individual defendants can ever again serve on the board of a charity in New York State.
Huge deal. You might be surprised. What is New York doing involved in this? Since 1871, the NRA has been chartered in New York. So what is in the lawsuit? According to the lawsuit, as a report states from CNBC, the senior leadership of the NRA squandered millions in donations on personal trips, private jets, and expensive meals. The failure to lawfully manage the organization's funds contributed to losses of $6.4 million over 3 years. James said the NRA was, quote, a breeding ground for greed, abuse, and brazen illegality. The lawsuit claims that the group had a $27.8 million surplus in 2015, which declined by about $64 million by 2018, putting the group $36 million underwater. Now, Wayne LaPierre, a longtime NRA executive and Trump ally, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on private trips for himself and his family, the suit alleges. Those trips include 8 visits to the Bahamas and all expense paid safaris in Africa with his wife, Susan, according to the lawsuit. And the trips to Bahamas, how much did those cost, you might ask? Well, the trips to the Bahamas cost $500,000. And over the past 2 years, LaPierre also spent $3.6 million on travel consultants and several million dollars on private security for himself and his family, according to the lawsuit. Private security, I feel like when you run the NRA, the guns should be free, right? So Benjamin, when you heard that this was the announcement, what was your reaction?
I was a little surprised, to be quite honest with you. I felt like it was a shock in that this is a big beast to take on, right? This is not a small thing, especially in an election year. I immediately went to the political ramifications. To take on the NRA in this fashion is to give Republicans all the red meat that they need. It's necessary, right? I think she has a legitimate case against them, but is the timing prudent? I don't know. Donald Trump came out immediately attacking her about this and stirring up fears of the Second Amendment because the NRA has become synonymous with the Second Amendment. So it remains to be seen how productive this will be in terms of the election year.
Yeah, and this might be the theme of today's show in terms of my analysis of it is there is a difference between being right and saying something the right way and like the strategy and what's the use, the timing. I had this at the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh, shots fired against the NRA. But then when you think about the NRA's recent history, it has been a disaster over there. Take a page out of Biden's book. It is imploding on itself. Why are you helping it? With coronavirus, there haven't really been the kinds of shootings at schools that end up being so beneficial to the bottom line of the NRA. Because people rightly, as you say, like after school shootings, call out the NRA for essentially standing in the way of any legislation that could fix this problem in America. And not just that, but people start donating.
Yeah.
And I mean, what could potentially be, do you think she's operating from a place of strategy, or do you think she's operating from a place of, well, I have the case now, I'm going to take it now?
Yeah, no, I think if you ask any Democratic consultant, not that we really care what they say, but in this case, if you were to ask them, they would rather she had not taken this case at this point, right? I agree with, if she has a case, she has to do what she has to do. And it's not for her to play politics, but you have to think about the broader situation, right? I think if they can bring down the NRA on justifiable causes, then it's a worthwhile cause. But this is certainly going to give, this is going to stir up the base. I don't know of any other issue, perhaps maybe abortion and a woman's right to choose, that would stir up the Republican base as much as this case. So I'm not attacking her or disagreeing with her decision, but just strategically, I think it's going to be a liability.
Yeah, I agree. There's another angle to it that I was reminded of. We're going to essentially talk about it, but it mentions the former advertising firm Ackerman McQueen, which was involved in NRA TV, if I remember correctly. And either way, NRA was involved in NRA TV, which I think is the source of all of that missing money, because it was a giant disaster and folded in on itself. According to the lawsuit in 2017 and 2018, Ackerman McQueen, according to CNBC again, spent $70 million on these out-of-pocket expenditures that essentially they weren't accounting for, and quote, public relations advertising that concealed entertainment and travel spending by NRA executives, including the personal hair and makeup of Susan LaPierre. And judging by how much it probably costs to do Wayne LaPierre's hair, I am terrified at how much they must have spent on Susan.
You know, this really just shows you like it, the ridiculousness, right? I think obviously the aphorism is correct. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. In this case, they had an obscene amount of money to do anything that they wanted to do with it, and a lot of political power. And so you're going to see this level of kind of petty corruption. It's not beneath them, right? It's the type of thing that you would expect them to engage in when they have as many resources as they have, as much political power as they have. They believe that they were above the law, so there was nothing too frivolous for them to corrupt.
Right, the whole thing's a lie. The whole thing's a grift. The entire NRA is not what they say it is. Yes,
yeah.
They are effective only in moments like this, in terms of what their dues-paying members are willing to react to. Yeah. Now, there's tons of stuff the NRA does behind the scenes that their members don't really even approve of. I know when we were in the height of, and it's so sad to say, the school shootings that only stopped when coronavirus came around. I mean, it's just really, really, really sad that the NRA can act in such obviously nefarious ways that are counter to what their own dues-paying members believe. Because in the wake of all that, the dues-paying members were saying things like, yeah, we should have common sense gun legislation. We should do all these things legislatively. But the scale has tipped so much, especially in calling it that, because of the leverage that you get fundraising-wise out of the 28% of your members who don't want any legislation whatsoever. They throw tons of money at you, and then you're able to take that money and work toward legislative goals that go completely counter to the 70% of your dues paying members who are like, let's just make sure that people who would fail background checks don't get assault rifles.
Right. You kind of alluded to it, right? There's nothing beneficial in having reasonable politics right now, right? Everything is hyper-partisan. Everything is extreme. And so for them to do something that's reasonable, which is to follow the consensus of the majority of their own members, that's not acceptable, because that's not what's going to bring in the money. So they're living in the high life. They're doing all these corrupt things, and they're doing it as a result of the way they have been able to drive this wedge issue and to keep America divided, even though their own membership disagrees with them.
Yeah, and a little to the point of the red meat angle. You know, Trump retweets Liz Wheeler, who says, imagine going after the NRA, but refusing to touch the Clinton Foundation. Clinton Foundation was trending today. Planned Parenthood was trending today, because they're like, this is like a Democrat, a Republican attorney general of a state going after Planned Parenthood to get it dissolved. But the most ridiculous and easy swing at a softball, not to say that this is a bad idea in itself. And I think we've made that point, but just to show Trump's reaction to it during Chopper Talk today, let's take a look.
I just heard about that. That's a very terrible thing that just happened. I think the NRA should move to Texas and lead a very good and beautiful life.
I can't with this dude.
I lead a really good and fulfilled life, a fulfilling life. Move to Texas away from the, you know, Donald Trump, he never ceases to amaze me at how utterly ridiculous a simple sentence can be. Like he finds a way to make the most simple thing just idiotic and imbecilic. And yet it resonates with his members, with his supporters. He still has that same 36% of people who support him no matter what, no matter how ignorant he sounds.
And live a beautiful life. It's like an HGTV House Hunters episode. Like the NRA is a resident that's like, they're looking for a 2-bedroom, 3-bath outside San Antonio. It's like, what? How could the NRA live a beautiful life? And imagine that life when that beautiful life is advocating for legislation that results in the deaths of kids at schools.
So now if we wanted to be equally as ridiculous, we can by extension take the Citizens United decision and say corporations are people. So maybe he's not really being that far off, but it still is rather absurd.
Who knew that he had such like grounded constitutional bases for his ridiculous sentences?
Exactly.
All right, we're going to move on to the next story, which is another attempt. And you know, we'll watch Mike Pence try to drum up some red meat from the base. Okay, so Mike Pence is a vampire. And as a vampire, he's not typically allowed in churches. But if it's a TV set that just looks like a church, apparently that's okay. And that's what happened on the Christian Broadcasting Network recently as Trump continues to drop in the polls and alienate Christian voters with satanic behavior. Pence is tasked with appealing to voters who also call their wives mother. His tactic is to pick a fight with the conservative Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. And immediately this interview goes right off the rails. Take a look.
Are you scratching your head a little bit on John Roberts? I mean, we're not going to call him David Souter at this point, but conservatives have had a track record of having some problems with Supreme Court justices that you thought were going to be a reliable vote. Or at least when I say reliable vote, I'm just talking about, you know, to adhere to conservative principles.
The reason I want to stop right there is because he gave away the game already. At the beginning, he's like, he's not a reliable vote. Oh no, I just said the thing you're not supposed to say, which is a Republican president appointed him and he should vote with what the Republican president wants no matter what, which goes completely counter to the reason that we put robes around our disembodied heads of justice, the Supreme Court, so that they're not even people, they're just thinking things that look at the Constitution and theoretically do it. So that's, I just wanted to make that point really quick. What softball questions this makeup thing, the lead political analyst for the Christian Broadcasting Network had to say. But here's how Pence answers the question.
Chief Justice John Roberts has been a disappointment to conservatives, whether it be the Obamacare decision or whether it be a spate of recent decisions all the way through Calvary Chapel. It's a reminder. And I think several cases out of the Supreme Court are a reminder of just how important this election is for the future of the Supreme Court. We remember the issue back in 2016, which I believe loomed large in voters' decisions between Hillary Clinton and the man who would become president of the United States. And some people thought that it wouldn't be as big an issue these days, but I think that's all changed. The recent decision, and again, a narrow Supreme Court decision, striking down a Louisiana pro-life law that only said that doctors working in abortion clinics would have to have admitting privileges at local hospitals. That's a very modest restriction on abortion providers, but a narrow majority in the Supreme Court still said it was unacceptable. And I think it's been a wake-up call for pro-life voters around the country who understand in a very real sense, the destiny of the Supreme Court is on the ballot in 2020.
I have some stats about why he's upset and all like the specific cases, but he did mention some of them. Benjamin, what's your reaction?
Mike Pence is probably the only person I would think would be worse for America than Donald Trump. He carries the same amount of ignorance and weaponized stupidity, but he also carries a level of evangelical fervor that is dangerous, that would most certainly strip away the rights of women to vote. And the fact that he just concedes, right? You know, the host set it up obviously that way, but he concedes that they have a full expectation that a Republican appointee is going to abide by what the Republican Party wants versus what the Constitution says. As many of them try to claim that they're about the originalists, they're originalists and they're about the original interpretation of the Constitution, that it's not a living document. They are admitting here that they don't really care about that as much as they care about ideology.
Yeah, their originalist interpretation argument has gone out the window many times. Went out the window yesterday or 2 days ago when we reported that they're just not going to do what the Constitution says about right. The census. We're just not going to count people. We're just going to count essentially more or less like what the president tells us to count. That's gone. That happens all the time. To go through some of, I do want to talk about his mentioning of the Louisiana abortion law, but we'll do that after I read these cases that he's talking about. Robert sided with the court's four liberal justices in the Louisiana abortion case and the Nevada church case. He also was part of a 5-4 majority that blocked Trump's attempt to rescind DACA. And he sided with the 6-3 majority in ruling that workers can't be fired for being gay or transgender. Like, those are things that are very much what Pence is designed in a vampire lab to do. Like, and that was the, what you saw in that video is the closest you'll ever see to him yelling. That's him when he's shopping, when he's yelling, when he's passionately making love. Like, that is what he looks like all the time, the eye furrow. And to with a straight face and he sounds like all the politicians that Trump annihilated during all of the debates as he's trying to look at you with that furrowed brow and just say, it was the smallest of restrictions on abortion, admitting privileges to hospitals that aren't even remotely there. Even though if someone has to go to a hospital, Ronald Reagan made it so no matter who they are and what country they were born in, they have to take them at the hospital.
Right.
That's a law set in stone. And that is something that he will not cop to. He is so expert at exactly delivering with the straight face. And that's why he's on a set that looks like.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The church, he is acting and pretending that people are earnestly saying that it is a small restriction that you have admitting privileges. No, it is a calculated restriction to make it so it is impossible for those people to, and the same way with the width of the hallways, all these arbitrary things that they try until and buy themselves time so that they get struck down in court. It's so stupid. Ugh. The decisions have drawn outrage from conservative lawmakers, but Pence's criticism marked the first time he or President Trump have explicitly called out Roberts' rulings. Roberts also presided over the Trump Senate impeachment, which ultimately ended the president's acquittal, ended with the president's acquittal. Those might be things that he's mad about, but Roberts has sided with Trump in the past. He was part of a majority that upheld the administration's ability to detain immigrants with criminal records at any time, upheld Trump's use of military funds for wall construction on the southern border, and upheld the president's travel ban early in his first term. Why is he specifically going after Roberts?
Because they're totalitarian, right? If we just cut to it, they don't want anyone to waver any measure of degree. Like even the way that John Roberts wrote about the Louisiana case, it wasn't a clear cut victory for a woman's right to choose, right? It was a technical victory. And so even though he didn't give them an outright right to choose victory, that's not good enough, right? What people like Vice President Mike Pence want is complete and total submission to the conservative orthodoxy. And so he's trying to give them a chin check to see if he's going to get back in line. But I think this might have a backfiring effect, because if there's one thing that John Roberts is more concerned about than even the Constitution, it's his legacy and it's the respect that the institution has while he's there. And so he's going to have to assert the separation of powers that he has as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
That's it. I agree with you completely. He has that extra level where he's like, all right, I'm not going to shut down Obamacare. Like, I'm not going to shut it down. Like, it was a landmark legislation. But that might just be me reading tea leaves. I don't know. I'm not a constitutional scholar. You guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get deeper into the mail-in voting assault and all the inconsistencies in Trump's arguments about it, especially when it comes to whether the people mailing in their ballots will vote for Trump. So don't go away. More after this. Welcome back, everybody. Brett Ehrlich and Benjamin Dixon with you. A few announcements before we get to viewer comments. First up, if you guys are the ones who make this possible, and without you, there's no camera supporting my face, which means I completely disappear from all existence, and it's really, really depressing. I will just sit here and cry. So go to tyt.com/go. Right now, we're at $14,295 out of our $200,000 for the month goal. We started over. We have hit every month so far, thanks to you, you fantastic, beautiful people. And one way we can give back to you is by telling you about the sweepstakes from Aspiration, our partner. They have partnered with Zoom, the electric bike company, electric scooters. So if you want to win a free electric scooter, our partners Aspiration and Zoom Electric are making it possible. All you have to do is head to tyt.com/greensummer for your chance to win. Only new account signups can qualify. But if you already have an account, you can still refer your friends for a chance to win. So spend and save account, save and spend. It's fantastic. So there is that. A couple viewer comments, member comments. I love how slick Brett is with it, says just some guy. Feedback issues, take out one headphone, boom, fixed. Not sure it fixed it. I don't know what the problem was. Just went with it. And the math magician, always great, says dissolving the NRA will knock out a major fundraising arm for the GOP's gangster government and political influence that's killing millions of Americans. It's something easy and direct the AG can do to hurt them before the election. And it's beautiful. They've had the goods on these animals for months. So there is that. Gina Jones on the super chat says, Brett, where is Anna today? She's fine. She just has to deal with some very, very annoying things. And we'll leave it at that. Andrew Grew in the super chat says, this is likely to bleed the NRA funds on legal fees to stop them from pouring funds into Trump and other Republicans before the election. That's a great point. And they're also suing and countersuing the ad agency that I was talking about. That's like a terrible divorce. And it's my favorite thing of the day. And then Twitch subs and donos, special love to the Twitch community. The Dark One 2004 resub for their third month saying, hey, and Jars of Glitter subbed with Twitch Prime. So thank you so much. So there's that. And who knows if it will be signed time later today. It's a Twitch inside joke. Okay, let's get into it. Our next story is about mail-in voting and try to keep up because Trump's own opinions on the matter keep changing. Okay, so Trump's getting called out over his stance on mail-in voting, which shifts pretty obviously based on whether the state or the voters benefit him if they mail in their ballots or not. We're going to take you through all of it and expose the very clear reason for all of it. But first, here he is getting fact-checked in real time about mail-in balloting by CNN's Kira Phillips. Take a look.
You said that voting by mail is an invitation to fraud. Could you lay out and tell us exactly where the evidence is right now that mail-in ballots in Nevada and other states will lead to widespread fraud?
Well, if you read, even the Washington Post had a terrible story on mail-in, and the New York Times, and many newspapers have had terrible stories. You see them all over the internet. They've had some just horrible stories on mail-in ballots. You look at Arizona, you don't even have to have, as you know, they have a provision where they don't have to check signatures. So you sign it and you could have a totally different signature. It's okay.
Oh, well, I just wanted to point out, we did call Nevada's Secretary of State's Office Election Division, and a spokeswoman there said that that simply isn't true, Mr. President, and that Nevada will continue to check ballot signatures against voter registration cards. It's done at the county level.
Okay, but that's not what they said when they approved it. They said they're not going to check signatures. They're not going to be able to. And their machinery, which is old, doesn't allow them to. So they're going to be, it's going to be physically impossible for them to do that, especially in a short period of time.
Hey, sir, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
Which one?
That
oh, really? Well, then you're
primary.
reading a different newspaper than me.
Yes. First of all, you're not reading any newspapers. You're watching newspapers called Fox News. And it's very obvious to me that he just wants to stop people in Democratic states from voting by mail and is pretending that COVID doesn't really exist and is not an actual reason for having to come up with some other plan. I don't know, that's just my take. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, he's trying to have the best of both worlds, right? He has no problem sending kids back to school because he doesn't believe COVID is that big of a deal. But then later on, he says COVID is not that big of a deal. So go out and vote, right? It's safe enough to go out to vote. He's not really consistent in his approach, but the transparency of it all is kind of the thing that really gets me. Like, it's patently obvious that he's doing this for political advantage. And it seems like our system is paralyzed and incapable of responding to a president who is abusing his powers in a fashion that's going to help him get reelected. And that's the thing that bothers me the most. It's like, what can anyone do about this except for to continuously push back?
Yeah, and that's what the reporters are doing. And it really is. This is like the thing that exists under the Trump administration that didn't exist as concretely under previous administrations. That moment where you have to sit there and go, do I have to say this fact about how what you're saying is completely nonsense? Like, do I have to say it? When you say that absentee ballots and mail-in voting are bad, do I have to say that you've done it, that you just did it? When you say that there's a difference, do I have to tell you there is no difference? Especially at the time he said that. Now there's more nuanced differences between universal mail-in ballots and absentee, which you have to apply for. But when he went after Nevada, he keeps talking about this Nevada law, like this Nevada law is something that the governor woke up one morning and decided, you know what? Let's mail the ballots. No. That was passed by the legislature of Nevada. So the governor is just like, okay, let's do it. And the only reason that Trump's fighting against it, it is actually very consistent. It's very consistent with the Republican strategy on voting, period. It's, if there's a Democratic legislature, we need to do everything to make it a non-Democratic legislature. And we have a decision to make. Is the thing we do, do we fix our policy positions so that we actually appeal to what voters want? Ugh, that's such a pain in the butt. And plus, there aren't enough voters that agree with anything that we want. So what's better to do? Well, let's change the number of total available voters to vote, and let's draw weird maps as soon as we can, right, based on census data that we're absolutely manipulating to make sure that fewer people vote. Yeah. It's so insane.
And that's the thing about it, right? So it's patently obvious to you, to me, to the viewers. It just doesn't seem to be that obvious to Democrats, because they always seem to be behind the eight ball when it's time to respond or proactively prevent these types of things from happening. And then sometimes they are complicit with the gerrymandering that we see because it makes their district safe. But in the long run, the gerrymandering process that you just outlaid really disenfranchises Democratic voters almost more than anyone else. And so it's really disheartening because this man has shown that he knows America's Achilles heel. And it's really just being shameless and not caring, and not caring about the hypocrisy, not caring about people calling him ignorant, not caring about the fact that everyone can see that he's a glaring hypocrite. He doesn't care. And it seems like nobody can do anything about it.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people who had no problem being a blaring, glaring hypocrite. But like, they absolutely, at least there was a decorum. And I know that decorum, yeah, it's the same thing about like the disembodied heads of judges and the way, yeah, we build Capitol buildings to imply that this thing has been here for billions of years since the Greek times. But no, they just built that as an homage to that era. Yeah. But with Trump, he just keeps going and he just keeps saying it. And all of that is easy. He occasionally hints at it straight on. He's like, when it's coronavirus, it's like, it'll just go away because everything else just goes away because he's able to say something else about it and not care whatsoever that it was, at least, yeah, back in the day of 7 years ago, if someone did something embarrassing and was caught, they would have the decency to resign over it. But he just doesn't. He just keeps going, and he exposes exactly what you're saying. I totally agree. In terms of Florida and absentee voting, here's what he said recently. He tweeted, "Whether you call it vote by mail or absentee voting in Florida, the election system is safe and secure, tried and true. Florida's voting system has been cleaned up. We defeated Democrats' attempts at change. So in Florida, I encourage all to request a ballot by vote and vote by a ballot and vote by mail #MAGA called out over the hypocrisy. Again, here he is defending himself.
Why does that apply to Florida and it doesn't apply to mail-in balloting across the country?
So Florida's got a great Republican governor, and it had a great Republican governor. It's got Ron DeSantis, Rick Scott, two great governors. And over a long period of time, they've been able to get the absentee ballots done extremely professionally. Florida is different from other states. I mean, in Nevada, where you have a governor, he said, let's just send out millions of ballots and the post office cannot be prepared. I haven't spoken to the post office about it, but I don't know how they could possibly be prepared. Florida has been working on this for years, and they have a very good system of mail-in. And that would be absentee or even beyond absentee. So in the case of Florida, there aren't too many people that would qualify. They're so well run. Florida's a very well run state, low taxes, low everything. So in the case of Nevada, they're going to be voting in a matter of weeks. And you can't do that. I can't imagine the post office could do it. All of a sudden, they're supposed to be dealing in millions of ballots. But Florida's done a great job. And we have total confidence that if you mail in your ballot in Florida, it's going to matter.
It's go ahead.
So he slipped something in there about the post office, right? The post office could and can handle that type of quantity, but they have been undermining the post office ever since, every step of the way, right? And so he's creating the very conditions where the post office can't handle it. But then on top of that, he just started out that entire exchange by saying that we had two great Republican governors in Florida. Period. That's what he's counting on. He's counting on the machinations inside of Florida. Listen, if I was in Florida in 2000, I was also in Florida in 2004 when they purged me off the rolls. Florida is very good at making sure that they can swing the state in any direction that they want to swing it. And that's what he's counting on.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. What happened when you were purged off the rolls in Florida?
In 2004, I was purged. I didn't even know it until it was too late. I couldn't register to vote. It was already too late. And so what I did instead was I organized like 200 people to go and vote on my behalf. So I made up for it. But it's just the fact that no, Florida is really efficient at doing all types of insidious things, even all the way up to the point of the Secretary of State. I believe it was Pam Bondi at the time, who really just made moves on behalf of the direction that they wanted to swing the state. And so it didn't matter if it was 2000 or 2004 or 2020. Florida is really good at getting a Republican outcome.
Yeah. And she doesn't, I mean, I believe the story was she did an investigation after getting like a huge something after a huge donation from the Trump administration, from Trump himself. So ridiculous. Yeah. And just to kind of say these things that I can't believe I have to say, cases of election fraud in the US are exceedingly rare. Though experts acknowledge that there is some slightly higher fraud risks associated with mail-in balloting when proper security measures are not put in place. But as you saw in that clip, they have been put in place. But here, I would like to point out that Florida is the one that notoriously is terrible at this. Not just that, but because of the so many dual residencies of people from New York who go to Florida just to vote, one of whom lives in the White House. Mm. And that, it to me, is a form of voter fraud. He lives in D.C. That's where he lives. Right now, Kevin McCarthy is making an argument that he has to give his speech about for the RNC from the residence of the White House because that's where he lives. Hmm. But when it comes to voting, he knows he's in trouble. So he's got to take every vote he can get, even if he has to change his residency to Florida. It's so stupid. And then this last graphic I'm going to show before we go to break. No, we have two more. Who do people like when they're mail-in voting? Here's an Emerson College polling thing. People who want to vote in person on the left, very red. People who want to vote by mail, 76% of them versus 20 favor Biden over Trump. So I think we just expose the plot, not to mention all the things we trust the U.S. Postal Service with that you can mail, passports, taxes, refunds, Social Security cards, driver's license, credit cards, COVID checks, the census. These are all mail things that we trust the mail carriers with. It's all BS. Anyhow, we got to take a break. Don't go away. We got some Biden stuff after this. Welcome back to TYT, everybody. Brett and Benjamin Dixon here. I do want to do one quick shout out. We have a new friend called Artesian Builds. Tomorrow night, we're doing Common Room on the Twitch channel with an old intern of ours, Adiana, and my wife and JR and me. And we're going to talk about fun stuff. Afterwards, our partners, Artesian Builds, are going to build a computer for us because mine got fried in a power outage and they're going to be nice. And so we're going to, after Common Room tomorrow, host their channel as they build our computers. And they're awesome. They're going to build a custom PC live on their Twitch stream at twitch.tv/artesianbuilds. And if you're looking to get a custom PC of your own, you get a discount. Use code TYT at checkout. Artesian is a grassroots company with over 1,000 custom PCs built, and they're really nice people. Anyway, so there's that. A couple viewer comments. I want to go straight to the super chat where Laura Shin donated to the channel to say, "Great camera, Mr. Dixon. Looks good. This is the best Thursday ever." I agree with you, Laura. I was distracted by it when I was like trying to do something before the show. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous.
I tried to do it. I worked really hard on it. So that means a lot to me. Thank you so much, Laura. No.
Nikki Dearest Gogo says, "I have a theory. Trump is so against mail-in ballots, particularly because handwritten ballots would be impossible for Russia to hack." Oh, that's so nice. And then a shout out to both of us. Luna Diana says, "Everyone, please consider becoming patrons of the Benjamin Dixon Show. Hey. Great balance between pathos and malting."
We appreciate that.
So good. Absolutely. You're so great. I don't know. I'm just so lucky. I saw that on the conversation you were interviewing Ro Khanna. So fantastic.
Great time.
And then Obi-Mom Kenobi giving out more subs on the Twitch stream. And it's the TK subbed on Twitch Prime. Thank you so much. Love the Twitch stream. New emote of the elbow from the sky. Thanks to Max Beats, whose idea it was. I just did whatever you said. Okay. All right. Let's see what we got here. We have. All right. Let's get into Biden. Okay. So Joe Biden, liability, exclamation point. That is, I think that's on his business card. Joe Biden, while giving an interview to NPR, had some stuff to say about diversity and the differences in diversity between the Black and Latino communities. Let's just first of all, sit down, take a seat and take a listen.
I have a few questions that I'd just like to get through because they are incredibly important to the Latino community. First of all, you are extending TPS, temporary protected status, to Venezuelans. Cubans, though, are now being deported in unprecedented numbers. Would you stop those deportations?
What I said, I'm going to look at entire temporary. I'm going to look at every single country in the world. Anybody can prove that they are in jeopardy to go back to their country and the reason they came in the first place, they should be able to stay in the United States of America until the circumstance changes in their country.
Are you going to reengage with Cuba, though? I mean, I'm specifically wondering about, you know, the Florida yes. communities that are, incredibly interested in the Cuba issue and see
yes.
Status given to Venezuelans while Cubans are being deported.
The answer is yes, I'm going to engage. Yes. Yes. And by the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. You go to Florida, you find a very different attitude about immigration in certain places than you do when you're in Arizona.
That is the best I could make it sound to try to give the most benefits of all the doubts to Joe Biden. The part that went viral was the part where he said as opposed to the Black community with noted exceptions, the Latino community essentially is very diverse. So Benjamin, what was your reaction to that when you saw the clip?
4 more years of Donald Trump. Because he is making it all too easy. Like, setting aside the racial component of it, right? Because that part is obvious, the racial condescension and all that. It's just Joe Biden had to be the very worst person they could possibly pick to run in this campaign. If we lose, if Donald Trump gets a second term, it's for no other reason than the Democratic Party coalesced around the weakest candidate imaginable. That said, we got to get rid of Donald Trump. And Joe Biden is not doing us any favors by giving Donald Trump the ability to call him a white liberal racist, which in context of what he was saying is pretty racist, Joe Biden.
Yes. One of the I know the point he's trying to make. He is trying to make a point, and I'll get to that in a second. But the saying all those words in a row is so much Joe Biden. It forces people to go, oh my God, here's what he was trying to say. And that version that you saw, I had to take it out just because it was so long. It wasn't holding together. A lot of his points trailed off, and that was the best of them. He just keeps saying things like that. It's the same thing that Clinton does, where he's like, I'm Mr. Black people. And here's why I get to say this, because I have been trusted. And it makes my skin crawl so much. I can't. I just can't with him.
Look, Joe Biden does not have President Clinton, right? He's not an honorary Black person like he always thought he was. But Joe Biden, even less so. Joe Biden is really riding on the coattails that he was a VP for the first Black president. That's all.
Yeah. The point, there is a thing that he is getting at, and everyone's gonna hate it. But this is the point, and I've talked to many different people. I don't know. There are different kinds of Latinos, and they get to be from Cuba. They get to be from Venezuela. They get to be from Mexico. The nature of the slave trade is that if you're Black, you don't know any of that. You have eliminated a long legacy of people's origins, and it is horrible and has legacies today.
Do you really give him that much benefit of the doubt?
Oh, 100%. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying in my mind.
Because, I mean, but never mind the fact that there are Black Latinos, right? You know, he erased an entire segment of the Latino community with making this unnecessary division that really doesn't exist. And then the comparison that he tried to make that actually was more offensive to Black people. I mean, I just don't know if I could give him even that much cognitive capacity at this point.
Again, I agree. And it goes deep into like the census, the way that counting goes.
Yes.
And you look at the census and it's like, so are you Black or Latino, which is a subset of white, unless you say otherwise. And I'm not going to explain it more than like That's how messed up the accounting for all of this is. What he is trying to say is that Cubans are typically conservative. And a lot of people from Latino communities that came to America as a result of essentially communist revolutions and socialist movements were displaced by that. And that's real. We'll go to this last graphic. That's from Katie Miller, who doesn't understand it either. She says, my family and colleagues told me that when I have kids, I think about the separations differently, but I don't think so. DHS sent me to the border to see the separations for myself to try to make me more compassionate, but did it work? If you come to America, you should assimilate. Why do we have little Havana? Like, this is just from a purely cynical, political consultant approach. She doesn't understand the difference between different Latino communities. And really, there's a racial division between the very Caucho community she's talking about. But there is so little understanding and the hubris of Biden to try to say it like that and truly try to say anything. It's just like, go back to the basement, buddy.
Exactly that. That's what I tweeted. They need to lock him up in the basement, cut off the internet, disconnect his phones, and tell him to just be quiet. I'll say it for television. Be quiet until election day, because one thing I'm confident of, if Donald Trump gets 4 more years, we're going to be stuck with the coronavirus probably through the midway of his second term.
Yeah, I can't. And there's just so many more reasons. And for me, it's like, there's how I personally feel, and then there's my analysis. My personal feelings are the same feeling I had when he said, I have a whole list of them, of Joe Biden-isms, where he's saying, vote for someone else. We made a video about that. Yeah. There's tons of things where he says, he literally said, I'm from Delaware, and you cannot go into a Dunkin' Donuts or a 7-Eleven without a slight Indian accent. And it's just, you're trying to help so bad. And if you just had like 8 drops of humility, maybe.
And just maybe 8 drops less of the white supremacist system that he helped erect. But I'm going to leave that alone, because we've got to get rid of Donald Trump because of COVID-19. We'll be stuck with COVID-19 for 2 more years if Donald Trump gets reelected. So Joe Biden, please just be quiet.
Joe Biden, be quiet. So great. I never want you to be quiet, Benjamin Dixon. Again, please tell people where they can find you.
They can find me on YouTube at The Benjamin Dixon Show. I would love it if you all went and subscribed, or you can go to patreon.com/TheBPD Show and get the full hour and a half show of my daily show.
Awesome. And then there's also ways you can subscribe to TYT. You can click the join button if you're watching on YouTube, Twitch. We have some joining options. And then also stay tuned, because we are going straight into the post game that members get live first. We have more Biden stuff. Ben Shapiro is going to show up on the show to deliver a song for you. He's going to put all our political differences aside and sing with a voice that will make angels blush. Thank you so much for everyone else for watching, and we'll see you next time on TYT.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.